You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So the National Prosecuting Authority released a directive that they've been working on for quite some time. It's quite an interesting directive. It is called the Corporate Alternative Resolution Directive. You may have heard on the National Pulse, Ashraf speaking to the National Prosecuting Authority around that and the rationale behind releasing such a directive, especially at a time where we have been told as a country that we are not doing enough to fight illicit flows, corruptions, and the things that got us on the grey list. So this is a very interesting time for this kind of directive. The National Prosecuting Authority made it very clear that this is something that happens internationally. It is a norm outside of the borders of South Africa. It's not a surprise for agreements like these to be structured or to be put in place in the name of the greater good. I'm joined on the line by Wayne Duvenacher, who is the CEO of OUTA, that is the organization undoing tax abuse, to reflect on this new directive and try and make sense of it. Good evening, Wayne. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by your initial thoughts. Let's get your initial thoughts on the directive, the timing of the directive, the objectives, and what it aims to achieve.
Yeah, thank you. So, without a doubt, we see this as a positive move for a number of reasons. Firstly, you know, had this been around at the time where KPMG and McKinsey and all those cases had unfolded, we would have got far better resolution. We would have seen far more accountability than we have seen where we've just seen a couple of corporates pay back the money, so to speak, but nobody held accountable. So on top of that, I think, you know, the NPA, we must understand, is dealing with everyday murder, criminal activities and so forth. And they're trying to catch up with a 10-year backlog on state capture matters. And that's a serious, you know, drain. So if we can find these alternative mechanisms that achieve accountability, that it that doesn't just let people off the hook, by the way. It's not an escape for these corporate entities, but it also brings the wider players into the net at the same time, which very often we don't see happening. We just see the corporate, the entity held accountable, but there are people inside government that are not brought into the net. So full disclosure is part of this. So all in all, there are a number of good, positive elements of this mechanism that we would welcome. But again, it's not letting corporates off the hook. It's just getting accountability faster and paying back the money and bringing more people into the net.
Wayne, obviously, as you rightly mentioned, certain institutions or certain situations may have benefited from having this introduced sooner. Off the top of my head, you mentioned KPMG. I was thinking of Steinhoff and what would have happened in that regard, because that would have definitely turned out a little differently, I think, if we were able to then have these conversations so openly. But let's look at the implications of this sort of directive. We understand that the aim here is deterrence, and it is to ensure that the public interest is saved. But you touched on something very important around the fact that companies themselves are not absolved here. And the NPA mentioned in their previous conversation that the aim would be to have the companies pay back the benefit that they earned, and thus putting them back in a sort of zero position. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, but also in the context of the fact that putting a company back at zero doesn't necessarily mean the company has learned the lesson. At the end of the day, the individuals that contributed towards that were hired by the same company. So surely there should still be some accountability for the company beyond that.
Oh, there is. So firstly, you know, companies aren't corrupt. It's the individuals within them and that they give rise to these problems. And so often, a corporate entity, I mean, we've seen executives and businesses that just aren't aware of the collusion and the problems that happen. And yet the entire company, including all the good people that work there and have careers, become tainted and suffer from the consequences. So what you need is, firstly, the company should not be benefiting. On top of that, there's fines to be paid. And then what is happening with the directors? What's happening with the perpetrators? Because that's very important for us. Where's the accountability? Are they, A, being dismissed? Are criminal charges being laid against them? Are they going to be declared delinquent directors? And all of these is where the good accountability processes flow, which are often so often missing when it comes to these, holding companies to account. So I think it has far-reaching implications for accountability, and it overall it benefits. Otherwise, as the NPA says, we get caught in these long, drawn-out legal cases. We get nowhere with them, and on technicalities, they get dropped. So this is a good way to bring people into the fold and say, right, you've got one opportunity. Say it as it is. Come with all the facts. Come clean. Tell us who else involved on the other side. And when a company elects to go down this route and its directors, we get far more disclosure and resolution, I believe, as opposed to long, drawn-out court cases where the only people that win are the lawyers.
Wayne, let's look at this from the other side of it, not just the company side of it, accountability in the public sector. Should we not be applying this sort of thing to municipalities? Off the top of my head, I remember you and I had a conversation around the February budget speech that was delivered, and when the minister mentioned that they were bailing out municipalities, and we also discussed the fact that very few municipalities in the country actually achieve clean audits. Should we not be rolling out this exact same accountability to other public interest organizations like that?
Yeah, look, I mean, absolutely. I think what this alternative dispute resolution mechanism is bringing for the NPA is that there is businesses the other side of the corruption coin when it comes to state. And it's these mechanisms that they're trying to fast track in the corporate world where it comes to corruption here. But when we talk about state employees, the public sector, it's a totally different game. Of course, we want them to come clean, but what you need is political will, and that's where the whole whistleblower process comes to being, and that's where we've got a lot of work to do. So accountability there is very simple. If you are doing procurement practices that break the PFMA or the MFMA, the Municipal Finance Management Act, you need to be A, fired, charged, held accountable. All of those rules and mechanisms are in place. It's just that they're never carried out because the protectionism of the people that are involved is normally created higher up. The networks and the links to corruption within government are so deep and long. And that's how we see people in positions of power very glaringly obviously involved and nothing happens. And that we just got to use the mechanisms in place. But while you have politics interfering, it doesn't happen. And that's why we need active citizenry and we need pressure to be brought to the politicians to start doing their jobs properly.
Active citizenry, that's quite the important phrase there, and I think we'll leave it on that note. We need active citizenry to ensure that everybody is held accountable, regardless of whether you're in the public or the private sector, because it benefits all South Africans to hold each other accountable for these sorts of things. Yeah. Thanks so much for those insights, Wayne. That's Wayne Duvenager, who is the CEO of the organization Undoing Tax Abuse, reflecting on the NPA's latest directive to hold corporate accountable or corporates accountable for potential corruption.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.